It's Sunday, October 28, 2018, at Tierra Nueva in Burlington, Washington. Tierra Nueva Executive Director and Pastor Mike Neely brings us the message. It's titled, The Battle for Our Minds. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, and Romans 12, verse 2.
I've really felt God impressing upon me over the last week. It's not a new topic for me, but the idea that so much of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis all happens right up here in our heads. And there's a couple scriptures about that I want to start off reading. So you can see here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 on page 969 if you want to follow along, but this is a scripture that I remember reading years ago, and it made no sense to me, but it's becoming clearer. Starting at verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." So I'm just going to let that sit there, because we're going to unpack these in a moment here. And then Romans chapter 12, which I read at the beginning of the service, verse 2 in particular says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So in both of these cases, in Romans, it's talking about the renewing of our mind, which is how we think. And in 2 Corinthians 10, it talks about taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. If you're not familiar with the idea that whatever you preach on ends up being what you're living that whole week. It's been a rough week for me mentally, and not because of the chaos in the world, but it's almost like I'm working out this sermon to see whether it really works, just day to day. And as I talk more about it, maybe you'll get a sense of that. Back in the summer of 2000, I picked up a book. A friend recommended a book to me because I was in a really deep depression, and felt a lot of shame and failure in my life. And the book was called The Bondage Breaker by a man named Neil Anderson. And the subtitle of this book was Overcoming Negative Thoughts, Irrational Feelings, and Habitual Sins. And when I read that part, I just went, check, check, check. Right, negative thoughts, irrational feelings, habitual sins. And Anderson was the first person for me that ever talked about this battle. Like, I've been living the battle my whole life, but almost kind of unaware of all the players in it. And so I was, and he talked about the primary battleground for the enemy. First of all, just believing that we have an enemy, and The main way that Satan works with us isn't through the occult. It isn't through witchcraft. He does all that stuff too, but the main way is through our thinking. And my experience up till that point of reading this, so the main thing that Anderson was talking about was this idea from 2 Corinthians 10 about taking every thought captive, taking every child captive. In obedience to Crystal, yeah. Taking every thought captive, and that was such a new idea to me, that I would take any thought that came into my mind captive, because at that point, see, that was 18 years ago, do the math, I was 37. For 37 years, I had never taken a thought captive in my entire life. And what that means is that my brain is like the fertile Skagit Valley farmland. And every thought is a seed. And that seed comes and lands in the fertile soil of my mind. And if I let it stay there, which I was letting everything stay there, positive and negative, if I let it stay there, it begins to put down roots. And then this little shoot comes up. And you ever notice that, like, good plants and weeds, when the shoot's coming up, it's hard to tell them apart. It's not until they begin to produce fruit in your life that you realize, oh, man, that was trouble. Well, so the fertile soil of my mind was a garden run amok with good plants and weeds. And I think there were more weeds than good plants. And in fact, Jesus tells the parable of the sower who has thrown the seed out. And at one point he talks about how some of the seed landed among the thorns and it grew up, but then the thorns choked it off so that it couldn't produce fruit. So it's not that it wasn't growing. It's not that God wasn't at work in my life, but it's all this other stuff was also growing and was smothering the fruit that God wanted my life to produce, so that my life wasn't producing that. And instead, the weeds were the ones that were growing up higher and casting out more seeds. And so you think about all the thoughts that maybe come in, like right now as you're thinking about this last week for yourself, the thoughts that come into your mind, you know, fear, anger, lust, negativity, self-condemnation, greed, you know, and then all sorts of, like, untrue, what I would call ungodly beliefs about ourselves, ungodly beliefs about God, like this chaos field in my brain becomes the filter through which I see myself and how what I believe about myself, and also becomes the filter for what I see and believe about God. And because my experiences had so much failure and shame in them, what the beliefs, the thoughts that were rooted in me were that I was powerless to change. Anybody ever felt powerless to change? I also believed that Christianity was powerless to change me. It was weird because I believed that Christianity was true. I believed that Jesus was God. I believed that Jesus forgave me, but he didn't seem to have much power here and now to make a here and now difference in my life. And I also believed that God was really disappointed in me because I wasn't able to change myself. So all of these are thoughts that came in like a seed, and it doesn't look like much when it's a seed, right? But then you plant it and you're like, how did all that come from this one little thing? I think I've got this tomato plant in my garden that, like, took over the whole bed, and it was this one tiny little seed. And I think, like, that can happen in us too. We have this one little seed thought that seems to grow up and take over everything until that's all that we see. And because that was all that I saw about myself and all that I saw about God, I actually kept my distance from God. And get this, I was a pastor. I was ordained and a pastor in a church, and yet I was afraid to come into God's presence because I was afraid of what he was going to say to me because of the lack of change in my life, or the lack of victory in my life. In fact, you might be familiar with the parable that Jesus tells about the prodigal son who has gone off into the far country, and eventually he finally comes home, and the crazy thing that Jesus tells about the father running down the road, just embarrassing himself because he loves his son so much, and restoring him to full sonship. Well, the way that my heart theology told that story was, the father doesn't run down the road to meet me. The father actually stays back at the house with his arms folded across his chest, and he says, well, I'm glad you're home, but things are going to change before I let you in the house. You need to agree to this list of rules. You know, like, that's an experience that a lot of people have. And you see, because over time, when we don't take thoughts captive, our minds become these really cluttered fields, these scattered fields, so that the fruit that God wants to produce in us isn't able to be produced. It gets choked off by the weeds. Oh, it's a tough day. So the command in Romans 12 is that we would actually be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So something needs to happen in our minds to bring about that change. Because when we're not renewing our minds, then we're letting that whole mass of thoughts tell us who we are, tell us who God is, and tell us even how to feel and how to act. So when we do Genesis recovery work with people, one of the things we talk about is that our beliefs create emotions. Our emotions often lead to behaviors. Our behaviors create experiences, which then reinforce our belief. We get a belief that gets really firmly entrenched in us. That creates emotions. I had a really, again, like I said, you're working this out all week long, like God's teaching you. Like, I was walking my dog the other morning, and I started thinking about a conversation I need to have with somebody. And I started to imagine all the ways that conversation could go wrong. Anybody else? Like, not how it could go right, how it could go wrong. And as I thought about how it could go wrong, I got pissed off. And like, I felt like this heat and energy coming up about a conversation that I haven't even had that may not even go this way. It started with a thought that had a belief about this person or the potential of this conversation being a certain way. It creates an emotion. And then it made me mad, right? And in my anger, then, like, I don't even want to talk to this person. Or I've already prepared myself for it going wrong, and that's not a great way to enter into a conversation with anybody, right? And it's nobody in this room. Just want to... It's not Midge, just in case you're wondering. Yeah. It's not you, Midge. It really is not. So think about one of the examples that we often give around this is, like, if my belief is I'm always going to be rejected, that can create emotions of both fear and anger. It could be resentment. All these things come up in me. And I'm just going to use Midgen's example since I've already thrown her name out here. It's not a true thing. It's just an example. But if my belief is I'm always going to be rejected, then I'm actually, because I'm afraid that Midge is going to reject me, I'm actually going to do some things, maybe that I'm not even aware of, to push Midge away, because I don't want to experience rejection from her. So I'm going to pre-reject her. But then that filter that I'm always going to be rejected interprets Midge's distance from me as her rejecting me, because I'm not even aware of my own actions in pushing her away. So now I've had this experience with Midge through a filter of belief that has actually reinforced my belief. See, I told you I was always going to be rejected. Midge just did it. She just blew me off. And so that just reinforces that belief. So when we have these thoughts, which then become emotions that then become behaviors, this is what the Bible calls strongholds. So in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, we have divine power for the destruction of strongholds. And what's a stronghold? It's something that has a strong hold on us. So if what happens is when I think certain thoughts over and over again, and then they're reinforced by emotion and then behavior and experience, that's a rut that I'm actually, like, I think physiologically it's called a neural pathway, but we're actually creating connections in our brain that say this is the way life works. It's just like if you're cutting across your lawn instead of walking on the sidewalk to the driveway, if you do that enough times, there's going to be a well-worn path in your lawn. And if you go there with a thought enough times, it's going to create a well-worn path that scientists, doctors call a neural pathway. The great news is that we can actually destroy neuropathways and build new ones by having new thoughts that create new emotions, and then we have new behaviors and new experiences out of them. So some of those thoughts, though, that are challenging, because we call them ungodly beliefs or false beliefs, but they really feel true. Like, if my experience has been rejection, then how could you tell me that that's not true about me? It feels very true. And again, in our Genesis work, we have these two different, they're actually called lies in Genesis. There's a projected lie and a survival lie. So if you're unfamiliar with that, a projected lie is words that have been spoken over us by our parents or by the people who raised us, people in authority when we were young. So they're speaking a word over us that functions almost like a curse, that you're always going to be a loser. You'll never amount to anything. You're stupid. You're ugly. You've done things that aren't forgivable. So there's a lot of ways in which those things are spoken over us. And when they're spoken over us enough, because they're from people that we're supposed to trust, we believe those things about ourselves. So that, and then we have this belief that creates emotion in us, that leads us to behave in a certain way, so that we have experiences that, again, reinforces that belief. A survival lie is a way that we've just tried to make sense of our experience. So it's not something that somebody's spoken over us, but it's something that we've just said, this feels true to me. Like, if people get to know me, they won't like me. So if that's been my experience, that as I've shared with people, I've felt distanced, whatever those reasons are, if that happens enough time, I begin to believe that that's just true about me. If people get to know me, they won't like me. I'm always going to fail, so why try? If we fail enough times, that feels really true to us. And so that becomes a stronghold in us that actually then creates emotion and can actually set us on the path of failure again, because it's so deeply ingrained in us. Whatever I do won't be good enough. Again, we've tried things, and that's the feedback we got, and so that just continues those things in us. So the scripture says that we are to we have divine power for the destruction of strongholds. So that's really good news. But how do we actually access that power? How do we access that power so that those deeply ingrained thoughts in us, those strongholds, can be dealt with? The short answer to that question is, first, we've got to identify the stronghold. We got to know where we're stuck. What's the thought or the thought pattern that we're stuck in? And then the simple version of it is, I acknowledge it as a lie. I confess it as a lie, and I renounce it, and I break agreement with it in the name of Jesus. And then I ask the Father, what's the truth to replace the lie? So that's the renewing of my mind. It's not simply I'm going to renew my mind with good thoughts that come from nowhere. It needs to be stuff from Scripture that's really grounded in what God says about us. So that's the short version of it. We identify the lie, we renounce it and break agreement with it, and we replace it with the truth of what God says about us. What is it? Lather, rinse, repeat. That's what it says on the back of the shampoo bottle. We do, and really, the repeat is really necessary, because when something's had a stronghold in us, there's a rut there, and we actually need to build a new rut, a rut of righteousness, of right thinking. And so some psychologists will say it takes up to 6 weeks, at least 6 weeks, to develop a new habit, right? And so, like, we didn't get that stronghold in one day. We got it over years of letting that thought land and take root and grow and produce fruit in us, and then believing it and acting on it. And so it's been continually reinforced. So on one hand, we renounce it, we break agreement with it, but then we also recognize that it's going to come back and try and convince us that we didn't do anything. Because sometimes, honestly, those thoughts are also demonically empowered. There can be, it's not always that way, but there can be a demonic component where the enemy wants to keep you stuck in that way of thinking. He doesn't want you to be free. The enemy doesn't want us to be free. And so if your way of thinking about God or about yourself is serving his purposes, he's going to keep pushing that button. And so we actually need to begin to walk in our authority as those things come up. Romans 12, as I read earlier, says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So this is, like, we can get free in a moment, but maintaining our freedom actually takes a bit of work. So we've actually got to put some new things in place. We've got to put some new habits in place, some new patterns in place. I've shared this story before, but it helps to make the point. One of the core false beliefs that has been in my life for years and years is I don't have what it takes. And that crops up in various situations. And my response to it in the past has been to feel shame about it, to feel shame that I'm a failure, that I don't have what it takes to do this job or whatever the situation is. And in shame, I like to isolate. I want to run away and be by myself because I'm embarrassed. I don't want people to see me as a failure. And so that's the way the enemy wants to work in me, is to get me isolated and stuck in this shame cycle of thinking. So the practice that I learned was to say the belief out loud. I don't have what it takes. How strong does that feel on a scale of 1 to 10? So even as I said it, I was like, oh, it feels like it's still at a 3. Okay. But the first time I did this as an exercise, it was somewhere between 7 and 8. It felt very strong in me. Okay, so I said that. And then the next part of the exercise is, let's enter into God's presence. Like, imagine myself with Jesus. And I actually imagined myself, this has never happened to me before, but like, I was in the throne room of heaven. And it was this odd thing. I'm standing there, and God the Father is sitting on the throne, and Jesus is sitting at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit is standing here next to me. And so this is my sense of what was going on. And then once you're in that place, it doesn't have to look like that for you, just whatever being in God's presence looks like for you. Once you're in that place, then say the lie again and see what Jesus does with it. So there I am standing there in the throne room of heaven, and I say, I don't have what it takes. And then I started to laugh because I thought, of course I don't have what it takes. You have what it takes. Why would I ever think that I'm supposed to have what it takes? Like, it was almost like God had just sort of peeled back the layers. And he said, you know, Mike, the lie isn't that you don't have what it takes. The lie is self-sufficiency. The lie is that you should have what it takes all by yourself. He said, I didn't create you to be independent. I created you to be dependent upon me because I have what it takes. I created you to be interdependent upon your sisters and your brothers because they have pieces of what it takes. And he said, what the enemy has done is he's taken something that's actually true and he's attached shame to it, so that you want to run away when you should just run to me. And I said, okay, so what's the truth, God? What's the truth? And he very quickly downloaded 3 scriptures to me. The first one was Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The second one was from, again, the story of the prodigal son, where the father has now gone out to the older son who doesn't want to come in. And the father says to the older son, don't you know that you've always been with me and everything I have is yours? And then the last one was from Romans 8 when Paul writes, he says, if God did not withhold his own son from us, but gave him up for us all, won't he also along with him give us all things? And so it was this things, all things in Christ, all things. And so that was this really powerful encounter with God that I need to go back to again and again to renew my mind. And so that's where the idea of taking thoughts captive comes in, is I could just be walking my dog and a thought comes in that is not from God. And it wants to land in the fertile soil of my mind and take root and begin to produce fruit in me. And if I'm not vigilant, it's going to do that. And so I've actually got to go, Jesus, I take that thought captive in obedience to you here. Now renew my mind with what you say. Renew my mind with the truth of what you say about me or about this person or about this situation. Like that's the work we've got to do. That's, we can get free in a second, but that's the work of maintaining our freedom. And part of it is that taking thoughts captive is that that's the 6 weeks of developing a new habit. Like when I first started doing this back in 2000, some days that was the only prayer I prayed all day long. It was like a mantra because I had never taken a thought captive in my life. And so they were used to having a, you know, a 6-lane freeway right into my head. And suddenly I've got to just be grabbing these things and taking them to Jesus all the time. But that's how it starts. That's how it starts. Jesus, I take that thought captive in obedience to you. Jesus, I take that thought captive. Oh, Jesus, I take that thought captive in obedience to you. And that might be the only prayer that you pray all day long other than thank you and help. Those are all good prayers too. So here's what I want to do. I want to close our time by actually having us do a little prayer exercise that I just described that I did. So you might already be aware of like one of the key thoughts in your life that has already taken root in you, that false belief, I don't have what it takes. I'm always going to be rejected. I'm always going to fail, so why try? Whatever that sort of maybe core thought is that you have, let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to show us. So Holy Spirit, would you show us right now what's the lie that is a stronghold in us, that has a strong hold on us? Would you show us what that is right now? Just bring it to our mind right now in Jesus' name. Now, as that thought comes to you, I just invite you to just maybe whisper it quietly under your breath. Nobody else needs to hear it, but just enough so that you can get a sense of how strong does that feel in you on a scale of 1 to 10. It could be a 10, or this one could go to 11. Who knows? And now if you're able to imagine yourself meeting with Jesus, it could be at the cross, it could be in a field, it could be in your house. Wherever, if you could meet with Jesus anywhere, where would that be? Go ahead and meet with him there. So Lord, we just want to step into your presence right now. We don't want to just do a mental exercise. We want to have an encounter with you. So if you're able to have a sense, or even just by faith, be there with him, now say it again to him and see what he does. Jesus, how do you want to respond to this thought that has a strong hold on me? Jesus, what's the truth? Would you give us a scripture that would replace the thing that we've been believing? So Father, we thank you that you speak words of life over us. We thank you that if it's a word of condemnation or accusation, it doesn't come from you. That you speak life and forgiveness and freedom and transformation and goodness, all the things that are the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all of that comes from you, Lord. And we receive it. We receive it. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would go deep in us around this stuff, that you would build godly strongholds in us, things that hold us up rather than tear us down. We thank you, Father, and we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our worship celebration by having communion together. So let's take time and we'll put the Bibles back up on the shelves in the back corner there, and we'll stack the chairs and move them off.
That was a message from Tierra Nueva in Burlington, Washington. We worship on Sundays at 4:30 in the afternoon at our building in Burlington. It's on Fairhaven Avenue. It's across the street from the post office. Family Support Center is open Monday and Wednesday from 11 to 4. Every morning we gather at the building to read Gospels, and then every evening to read Psalms. If you're listening to this right now, you either know about our podcast, the Tierra Nueva podcast, available on all podcast outlets, or you know about our website, tierra-nueva.org. Maybe you found it via Facebook or Instagram. Whatever it is, thank you for listening. Let us know that you hear us. Message us on those outlets or email us, admin@tierra-nueva.org. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.